chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind him, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Hallelujah. Amen. Who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? I do use the New King James Version a lot, so I'll take his translation. What sort of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? What sort of man is this? And the Amplified Version is, what sort of man is this Jesus that the wind and the sea obey him? Now, this is a story that some of you might have heard it time and time again. But today, I want us to focus on the word. What sort of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And as the story unfolds, the background to it was that Jesus Christ was talking in parables to not only his disciples, but the many crowds that have gathered around him, because they've seen him do so many miracles. He's healed people. He's drive out unclean spirit, cast out demons, and he's opened blind eyes. He's spoken with authority. He's done so many miraculous things that people couldn't believe that this was possible. But with Jesus Christ and with God, all things were possible. And his last two parables leading to this time that he had to cross to the other side, he was talking about faith. That if you have a faith like a mustard seed, a small faith like this, then you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and to be removed. And be cast out into the sea. Not only be removed, but to be cast out into the sea. That means that obstacle needs to be drowned without trace. And it will be done. But if you have that little faith in God to do that. And he also went on to tell another parable about somebody, planting his seed in a vineyard. And the gist of it is that it's God who gives increase. That means you can do as much as you want to do, but unless God gives the increase, you will not be fruitful. And anything that you do, that makes you successful because it's God with you. That is why it happens if you're a Christ follower. So, giving you that background, we come to this chapter that we are looking from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And it goes on to say that, and they took him. Bring me to verse 35, please. And they took him. Are we there? Verse 35, please. Thank you. So let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had let the multitude go, they took him along in the boat as he was. The word "as he was," I want us to, focus on it. They took him as he was. And I've been thinking about the past few days. What does it mean by "as he was"? Was he different? But then remember, what he's trying to bring our mind to, that he was a man like we were. But there was something different going on with him. There was something fundamentally different going on with him. He was walking in some kind of anointing that when they took him, as he was still flowing with it. Some of us, we leak sometimes. We forget, like Donna was saying, we forget when God saved us. When we were so hot for Christ and we could raise the dead and we could get a blind see, then suddenly we just kind of cool down. And our faith becomes automatic. Our following Christ becomes as a norm. And we forget that we have to be as we were when Christ saved us. Are you with me? We have to be as we were when Christ saved us. Hot to want everybody in your house know that you are a Christ follower, that God has forgiven you, and that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You want to witness to every sinner around along the road, and everyone who's ever hurt you, you just want to go and forgive. But then as time goes on, you forget. But they took him as he was. And he was speaking faith into the people. Others also followed him in this journey. He said, just there were other boats with him. But this experience of the storm on the sea, when it happened, you'll be surprised to know that those other people were not mentioned, but only one boat that Jesus Christ was in. Doesn't mean that they did not exist. Doesn't mean that the storm just hit only a few people or just that one boat. But think about it, that this journey that we have with Jesus Christ, there are other people traveling with us, but it depends upon your personal experience and encounter with Jesus Christ and how close you want to be with him. That is absolutely important. And these people came to that conclusion to make that statement, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It was a time that they've had a defining moment in their lives. And you and me, as we follow Jesus Christ, let us look for those defining moments in our life that will catapult us and energize us to another point there where we will come as we were to follow Jesus Christ. As Christ was, so shall we be. Are we listening? We are Christ followers, so as the Father is, he is. I preached not too long ago, and I said, as the Father has sent us, so have I sent you. So in the same vein, the same authority, the same power, the same anointing, the same word that God gave to Jesus Christ, he's given it to you. So as it is with Jesus, so shall it be with us. So we cannot settle for anything less. When we sit and we feel that, hey, you know what? I don't feel Jesus Christ in my life. But come as you are. And as he was, they took him into that boat and in that journey. Now, a great windstorm arose. It was a sudden burst and change in circumstances that was overwhelming for the disciples. But all this while, Jesus Christ was with them. Now, what I'm alluding to is that in our journey with Jesus Christ, if we stay close to him, no doubt storms will brew. No doubt waves will come and want to overpower us and drown us. But somewhere along the line, know that Jesus Christ is still with you in that boat. He is with you. He's never going to leave you. He is there with you. You may not feel him because when the storm came, they didn't probably feel Jesus Christ. So they had to look for him and they saw him sleeping, right? So sometimes it feels like God is not with you, but he's still with you. So you have to become aware of his presence. You have to become aware of his presence. If you are aware of his presence in the midst of the storm, what will happen is that you will wake him up. And you will see that you are re-energized in your situation. And I want to press on with this a little bit here. Is that all this while he was in the boat with them, Jesus was at peace in this, in spite of the storm and the waves. He was at peace, so he was asleep. So if Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is at peace even in the storm, then there's opportunity for you to tap into his peace so that you will be at peace. You will be at peace in the midst of your storms and the waves that try to overflow you. He was at peace in spite of the storm. And they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, verse 38, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Do you not care if we perish? This was a sign of panic on behalf of the disciples, a sign of anxiety on behalf of the disciples, weariness, depression, stress, and fear. And sometimes, Christ followers, we go through this. Don't you? Maybe just me. But we go through this. But as we go through this, remember the teacher is still with you. Remember the teacher is the Prince of Peace. Remember the teacher is there to see you through these waves. And somehow along the line, you have to look for him, wherever he was. In some translation of the Amplified Bible, it says that, look, he was sleeping on a leather cushion in the captain's whatever room. What a cozy life, Jesus. And we are drowning. You see, but he probably had that coziness because he knew who he was. He knew the God who had sent him. He knew his connection with him. Because he knew as he was still walking in the anointing and the power and the authority of God that God has given him. That he knew that when he wakes up, things can change. And we have to get to that point of knowing that somehow along the line, in our panic, in our anxiety, in our weariness, in our depression, our stress, and our fear, we have to say, teacher, don't you care if you're drowned? See, sometimes when you are in such a situation, you forget that the teacher is around. You forget that Jesus is still Jesus and nothing has changed. You forget that you are Christ follower and that the Spirit of God is still with you. And therefore, somehow along the line, the Spirit is not dead. It's got to be re-energizing you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The disciples at the time, when the storm suddenly came and when the wave suddenly was blowing and filling their boat, the disciples were looking at those things. And when they were looking at this, it was as if they were looking at their issues and their problem. The issue was the waves that was coming. The issue was the storm and the wind that was blowing. And that was all where their focus was. They forgot that Jesus was with them. What manner of man is this that even the storm and the sea obey him? You see, I like the word. Didn't say what Jesus is this or what God is this. What manner of man is this? So that means what manner of man are you that in the middle of this storm, can you speak that a storm will hear you? Can you speak that a wind will obey you? Same authority. What manner of man is this? See, we're talking about man in generic form. What manner of man is this that the wind will obey him? They were depending on their knowledge of what nature does. So they were fearful. They were counting on their experience and possibly scientific evidence of what the man has told them. Somewhere along the line, they probably were depending on their senses. Oh no, this I can see with my eyes. It's dangerous coming. Somewhere along the line, or more likely, they were discussing among themselves what they should do. What should we do in the middle of this? What shall we do? But you see, the Bible says this, it doesn't matter what we do, for heaven and earth will pass away, for my word will never pass away. Hallelujah. You see, the fact that they went to Jesus Christ and they said, teacher, do you care if we perish? Do you care if we drown? But Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is Scripture right in their boat, and yet they were drowning. Are you with me? So somehow along the line, they had to go back for the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, and for him to wake up and for him to speak and rebuke the sea and the storm and for situation to change in their lives. So what I'm trying to bring your mind to is that it doesn't matter what your senses are telling you. It doesn't matter what the situation is telling you. But when you find yourself in this journey of life, the storms will come, the waves will come. And when it comes, you'll be thinking, oh God, what about those little boats? Why isn't it affecting them? What about my next door neighbor? Why isn't it affecting them? What about that Christian? Why isn't that affecting them? They're having it all good. It's about you. We're talking about you and your relationship. Those ones doesn't matter. It is you, how you relate to Jesus Christ in your boat. That's what we are talking about. And somehow along the line, then he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. That's incredible, isn't it? He got up. And my translation, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. While the disciples were fearful because of the storms and the wave, Jesus was not. While the disciples talked among themselves as to what to do because of fear, Jesus spoke the word and the wind ceased. So in the midst of the storm that is surrounding you, or that may be surrounding you, I would say surround yourself with the word of God. Surround yourself with the word of faith, which is scripture. People's words will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, we want to look for, tell people, "Oh, you know what I'm feeling? You know what is happening to me?" And we come up with all sort of negative things. I do sometimes. Do you do that? Maybe it's only me who doesn't know Jesus Christ enough. We say all this and we're looking for solutions from human beings. But you see, sometimes what people, human beings will tell us will be good, but for that moment, the moment the person moves away, your mind goes again. And you're back into the same boat and the same storm, and you'll be wondering what hit you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. If you want to look for it, it's Luke chapter 21, verse 33. It's there. In the midst of the storm, surround yourself with the word of faith and scripture. In the middle of the storm, there is a battle going on in the mind. Competing priorities for your mind and your thoughts. But surround yourself with people who will draw your mind to the word of God and not just hug you and inflame the waves that is overwhelming you. For this will also pass away. Because some people will say, "Oh, it's not fair that you're going through this." Yeah, that is consolation. Yes, we know it's not fair, but the problem is still there. "Oh, you're so sad. Let me hug you." And the problem is still there. But somehow along the line, I would say that in those 0 hours of your life, these times can be very, very lonely. These times will be very lonely and low points in your faith. But you need to hear the word of God to bring peace and still the storms in your life so you can have the strength to give birth again. See, let me tell you a story in the Bible. It's about a man who happened to be a king. And this man, Hezekiah is his name. And I believe that the king of Syria was taunting him. Really taunting him. And sent his lieutenant, called Rabshakeh. He came and humiliated the people of Israel. But in all this while, the king kept telling his people that the Lord our God would deliver us. The Lord our God, I know him, he would deliver us. And I believe the king must have been afraid because this king of Assyria was very powerful, defeating many nations. So the people, the captain came and said, "Look, has any God delivered them from their hands?" And the same way our king defeated all those nations, they would defeat your nations again. And I remember the king telling his servants and his right-hand men that if you hear this man speak and taunt us, don't say anything back. But they were distressed in their spirit. And they went back. And when they went back, they tore their clothes and put on sackcloth, mourning. They were distressed in their spirit. They were distressed in their spirit. And the Bible said that they were as if children have come to bear and there's no strength to deliver them. When we read Isaiah 37, you can find it there too. It's as if people have come to bear, but there's no strength to deliver them. And you can find this story originally in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. So in the middle of the storm, there are times you have no strength to give birth. The only sustaining words that can calm your nerves, do and thoughts, and give you back your strength is to hear that says the word of the Lord. Because when Hezekiah sent message to Isaiah the prophet, he was the prophet at the time in Israel, and said, go and tell him that this is what this man is doing. We have come to a point that we have no strength even to stand. It's as if a pregnant woman is in labor, but the mother has no strength to deliver the child. Imagine that. Those days there were no cesarean, you know. So it can't happen. So you have to deliver the baby, and yet you have no strength. So it's either the baby die or you die, or both of you. And sometimes you and me come to the point that we are at our low point, 0 hours, that we cannot do anything about our situation. It's as if strength has eluded us. And sometimes you get to a place that you can't even pray. Do you know that? Because the problem is overwhelming you so much. The storms are so huge and the waves are buffeting your boat so much that all that you need is to remember a few scripture. That's where, well, I mean, David wrote and said in Psalm 111, that, 119, that, look, your word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. Because sometimes when you are in that situation, you are like, Job's wife, why don't you curse God and die? Some people, even when it happens that way, they blame the church leaders. It's their fault because, they can't solve their problems. But it's not about a church leader. You are in the same boat with Jesus Christ. It's about you saying, God, I want to hear your word again. So today I will recommend to you that hide the word of God in your heart so that you will not sin against God, so that you will not say things that will blaspheme against the name of God, so that it will lift you higher and up out of your situation. Let me press on for a few more minutes and I'll be done. You see, our unwavering faith in the Lord will keep us safe. You see, in spite of their difficulties, these people managed to say, teacher, don't you care that if we perish? And he got up and rebuked it. And said, why are you so fearful? Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith and confidence in me? That's the Amplified version. Because fear brings torment and takes your eyes off Jesus to focus on the hindrances that is in front of you. Faith sees no hindrance. Faith sees no hindrance but trust in God and his word. We read that they feared exceedingly. They were terrified about a situation that was overwhelming them. And said to one another, what manner of this man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus Christ looked at the sea, looked at the storm, looked at the wave, and said, peace, be still. And was able to be quiet. And I'm thinking, if it's my time, I say, yes, Jesus has done it. We'll be celebrating, wouldn't they? That's what I'll be doing. But instead, we see what they were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? We have to bring our mind to what they were feeling at the time. They were so afraid. They were talking about themselves. They've tried everything, but someone spoke and everything changed. They were filled with great fear and said to each other, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The statement, I believe, made them understand the verse 39 so clearly of what we are reading. It made them understand instantly that there could be more to the storms and the waves than the eyes could see. Are you following where I'm drifting to? You see, they saw that there's more to the waves and the storm than the eye could see. More than the science could tell them, more than their experience could tell them. There must be something else with it. Because the way Jesus Christ spoke meant something to them. And I'll take it from the Amplified Version and I'll read it. It says that, and he got up and sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still, be muzzled. And the wind died down as it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. He sternly rebuked it. Now, you would note that they might have seen that this is how Jesus Christ actually dealt with unclean spirit, dealt with something supernatural. Because sometimes the Bible said, hush, be still. And the Bible said he would not even permit them to speak. Are you with me? He said he would hush them. He would rebuke them sternly. So there they realized that, you know what? In spite of everything, there must be some supernatural manifestation that eyes could not see. But sometimes you have to deal with certain things supernaturally. Are you with me? You see, so it is all right to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, I'm going on and everything. But sometimes you have to, that's why I've been preaching the last few months that please open your eyes, that there's another supernatural somewhere. And that is part of our total gospel. You omit that and storms can hit you and you can fast as much as you could. You could pray as much as you can. And sometimes you're missing the point and nothing is shaking. Nothing is moving because there are storms. There are seas. And in fact, when we come to Revelation, when we talk about the seas and the storms and the glass and all those things, we are talking about deep supernaturalism. So, running up and finishing my preach tonight, I want to send you out this London Marathon evening that you were here, you didn't run, right? So you hear the rest are still running, okay? So you who are here, my story to you is this, that what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Please let it be brought to your mind and remembering that Jesus Christ has been using same authoritative words or authority or words of authority to say, hush, be still. So there comes a time that you have to look at your situation and say, look, I don't see what is behind you, but hush, be still. I don't see where you're coming from, storm. I don't know where you're brewing from. I don't care where you're coming from, but I say, stop it in Jesus' name. The same authority. If you don't believe it, go and read Ephesians chapter 1. So the same authority that God gave to Jesus Christ, I've given it to you. Read Matthew 28. The same authority I've given it to you. John 20, the same authority I've given it to you. Acts chapter 1, the same authority I've given it to you. He did the same thing over and over and over again. So why aren't we? Why are we getting drowned? Why are we sitting there? Peace be still. Have faith in God. What sort of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? If I can have my beautiful friends to come and help us to engage with this message. I don't know which part of it that has touched you, don't end the folks. I mean, just look at it. Sometimes, you know what? When I started reading this, in the course of the week, I really broke down in repentance. I said, God, you know what? There are times that I've complained and moaned and whinged and asked everybody to pray for me, and Jesus Christ is so close to me, and I still have authority in my hand, and I'm doing nothing with it. God, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I've complained and I blame everybody, and profile everybody and everything that is around me, and it's simply because I have not woken Jesus Christ in my life. and have forgotten about the authority he's given me, and I'm not bringing scripture into the situation, but I'm looking for solutions, which is not there. Shall we say amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So they're going to help us to worship a bit, and this would be a good time that we want to, I mean, if you want to repent like I've been doing this week, or you want to focus on God and Jesus Christ and his word, you want that ability to do that, please, I want you to be praying. And also, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to bring peace into your realm and into your house, into your home, into your household, then this is the time for you to pray. So we will spend a lot of time just to worship, maybe about, what have we got here? Maybe about another 10 minutes to do that, and then we'll bring the service to round it up and bring it to a close around 1:45. Okay, thank you. God bless.
If you'd like to stand with us, we're going to sing the song, I Believe. We believe the words that you've spoken, Lord. Believe what you've said in your word, that we can speak to the storms, and we hold on to that promise.
Complete, I believe.
but your word. Nothing but your word is what I hold to. Trusting and believing, trusting and believing, knowing in you every day. Every day my faith in you is renewed. Your word is what I hold to. Trusting and believing, trusting and believing, oh, in you. Every day my faith in you is renewed. Every day my faith in you is renewed. Nothing but your word. Trusting and believing, and believing, knowing in you every day. Every day my faith in you is renewed. Every day my faith, every day my faith in you is renewed. Every day my faith. Trust in that word. We're holding on to your promises. Yes and amen. You speak to the storms. You say, peace be still. You speak, when you speak, mountains move. When you speak, obstacles disappear. When you speak, and that same authority is in you, and it's in me, so we can speak to the situation. We can command it to move, 'cause greater is He that's in you. Greater is He that's in you. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your storm. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your storm. Operates through me and you. There is nothing He can't do. When we believe, when we stand on His word, when we stand on His promises and decree and declare a thing, we shall see it come to pass. Peace be. peace be still, yeah, yeah. Peace be still, hey. Peace be still. That's right, you speak to it, you speak to it. Overwhelmed, but we decree a thing and we declare a thing.